Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Now, I'm someone who's known pretty well on the South Coast for trying to stretch a dollar as far as possible, but even I'm at my wit's end with inflation and everything the way it is at the moment.
No avoiding it.
I'm going to get to the stage where Otto's siphoning fuel out of other cars and things like that, the buses. Jeez, it's getting that bad, isn't it? But I'll tell you what, they've hit us with the overpriced fuel. Then there's the lettuce. I'm like, whatever, don't need lettuce. But the latest one, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now you're attacking Australian culture below the belt. Now they're attacking our frothies, Brad, at the pub.
In fact, it's the highest increase in 30 years, jumping 4%, taking the price of a beer up more than $2 per litre, 80 cents more for a carton, and $4 more for a keg, meaning pubgoers could be slogged $15 for a humble pint.
Yeah, so they're attacking the beer price.
Yeah.
First of all, $15 for a pint. Are you in Western Australia? Where are you?
Yeah, that seems exorbitant. Good news for Eden Gas and Gear, though, because home brewers...
Like me?
Cha-ching! Making their own beers at home, that's going to go through the roof now.
Yeah, I'll be like the tumbleweed guy. You all laughed at me. Beer baron. I'm the beer baron. That's just how it's going to get. Yeah, when I was in Broome back in 2016, because they don't have pokies over there, the price of beer was pushed up to compensate for that. And even then, I was paying about $11 for a pint, but $15... That's absolutely outrageous.
That's what I'm like. How can they justify a price like that? Are they using fermented lettuce leaves to make beer now? Why is it so expensive? It's crazy.
Yeah, like when you go to a restaurant, you have the whole backstory of that cow before it hit the plate, and you go, oh, the price is definitely going to go up now because it's got a whole story attached. They're going to start doing that with the beer, giving you the whole backstory justify the price or something.
That's crazy. Are kebab prices going to go up in
Palmies
and
everything's
gonna schnitties
adjust
at the pub? Like, everything's going up with it? Like, you'd hope the food's cheaper, at least at the pub, if the price of the beer's going up.
Yeah, I like when they break these stories as well. When they try and talk to the punters, where do you think they're talking to the punters at?
At the pub, of course.
It's like, what kind of answers do you expect to get when you're at the pub when you're asking people about the price?
Anti-price hike answers.
I just love this guy's answer. They're going, all right, you know, the price is going up, buddy. How are you going to react to this?
Instead of drinking four beers, I might have to drink three beers.
Because that's maths. I've crunched the numbers, and this is what I've come up with as the answer.
Well played, buddy. The perfect answer for that.
But well, it might lead to people getting a little healthier, I guess, if they drink a bit less.
Maybe, but in all seriousness, though, if you do crunch the numbers when it comes to the calculations for the pubs, it's basically going to cost them this much extra a year.
An average pub would maybe sell around 15 kegs a week. For them, that's an increase in their yearly tax bill of around $2,000,
$3,000. Yeah, so it adds up. And when we were talking to our mate Cam at Big Niles Brewery there in Dalmeny, like the microbreweries are the ones that do it the toughest. Mm. Like they're the ones that, you know, they have to absorb a lot more of the cost. So those guys, it could be half their input costs if, you know, obviously this hits full swing and everything. So they're saying, like, it's a good idea because maybe people will drink less, but it's a bad idea at the same time because then people won't go out as often. People might just buy the case of beer and hang at home and drink in their own garage and cry over the beer like I do on a Friday night without actually going out too much. So, you know, it could hit both ways as well. As it turns out, we're actually the fourth highest beer tax in the world.
Oh, really? Who's the highest, do you know?
I'm not sure who the highest is, but that's pretty bad for us. There's another price hike coming in February, but you're sort of sitting there going, all right, maybe people will drink less as well, but... So supposedly you could say this is a glass half full situation, but even at that, it's still going to cost you $7.50 at this rate.
Yeah, that's it.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Are you a big musical fan? The only musicals I have really enjoyed over the years would be, Sweeney Todd.
Haven't seen that yet.
Johnny Depp. That was pretty good. I haven't seen it on stage. I've only seen the Johnny Depp movie. And, of course, Team America. which I class as a musical.
I would love to see the Book of Mormon. I reckon that my auntie saw that and said it was hilarious. I used to love Grease growing up.
Not
so much the stage thing, but we are seeing.
Does the Muppet movie count as a musical? They sing in that. They dance.
Labyrinth. They're singing and dancing in there.
I think that classes as a musical as well. Well, there's one new musical coming down under. It's the Tina Turner musical. She's still kicking, and they've made a musical about her life.
Yeah,
coming very tumultuous life.
Yeah, it's coming to Australia next year. They've also had the Alanis Morissette Jagged Little Pill. Bassing Thwaite is headlining that one. But yeah, it made us think about what musical you'd like to see made. It can be about absolutely anyone, anything.
We've had some famous ones over the years, like Evita.
Oh, yes, Madonna.
Very famous. Madonna, Hugh Jackman rose to fame playing
Peter Allen
in The Boy from Oz.
Yep.
And, you know, even Shane Warne got his own musical at one point.
Yeah, I did some texts and Australia forgets that I won the occasional game.
Eddie Perfect playing Warney back in the day when Warney the musical was on stage.
Even the late, great Shane Warne gave a tick of approval and said, how did he know? Like, he said, he's like, there's one scene where he's laying on a beanbag drinking VB while his mum's vacuuming around him. He goes, how did he know that's what used to happen? He's sitting there nursing a case of beer. But it made us think about some of the musicals we like to see. For me, I think I'd love to see a Stephen Bradbury one.
Really?
Yeah. That would be good. Best story ever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just about hanging in there. Just hanging in there because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, mine would be another Stephen, and that's Steve Irwin.
Ooh,
I can't believe we don't have Steve Irwin the musical.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, let's make one about old Steve-O.
Hopefully they leave out the ending, though.
Well, no, because you can still go on because you've still got Bindi and Robert and Terry. You know, they're carrying on the khaki legacy of Steve. So
would it feature the circle of life like the Lion King? Lifting the child in the air.
Well, it'd be like one of the baby crocodiles when he's Bertha Crocodile holds it up. 1-300-92-1250. We'd like you to call and tell us about a musical idea that you have.
Yeah.
Who would you love to see a musical about?
Could be anyone. It doesn't have to be a musician.
It might not even be someone famous. It might be someone in your life. Could be your uncle or your auntie or your granddad or something.
Pitch it to us.
Yeah. Chris and Brogo, who would you like to see a musical made about?
Oh, it absolutely has to be Jeff Fenwick.
The Marrickville Mauler.
Can you imagine it from the days of growing up in Marrickville, you know, going to school, being a little kid, getting bullied, going through his boxing career, fighting all these people, and it gets to the finale, the absolute finale. He just beats Azuma Nelson, and he grabs the microphone from the ring announcer, announces his retirement, and sings to all his fans, "And I will always love yous."
It sounds like you got the whole thing mapped out already.
I wrote about 6 years ago. I'm just waiting for someone to pick it up.
All right. Can it be a warts and all one, though? Because we'll talk about the robbery back in the 90s with Azuma Nelson.
Where he pinched the watches.
And then we'll talk about his robbery a little bit later in life.
Oh, yeah. And then there's the footy bit, you know, where he actually played for Parramatta and his cousin Mario. And then, you know, they all get confused for Mario Kart. It's amazingly funny as well.
Yeah, musical, and it sounds like it could be a Netflix series eventually.
Oh, yeah, we'll put another Metallica song and it'll be huge.
Just make sure you got the subtitles handy, though.
Yeah.
It's an off-Broadway production, that one, Chris, but a pretty good idea for a musical, mate. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks, fellas.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
We've dealt with some shortages over the past few years. The toilet paper shortage of 2020.
Wasn't that fun?
Lest we forget.
Yeah, phone book got a bit of a workout, didn't it?
The leaves on the trees got a bit of a workout as well.
Yeah.
Now we're staring down the barrel of another shortage, Hutsy, and it could be a gas shortage, according to the ACCC.
Next year, East Coast gas production will deliver enough energy to run 38 million homes for a year, but 65% of it is committed for export under long-term contracts. The consumer watchdog predicts a 10% shortfall in the domestic supply.
So we might not have enough gas for hot showers and cooking and all that sort of stuff.
Is my barbecue going to be okay?
Your barbecue might be affected as well. Might not have enough gas to power the Weber.
Jeez.
I know. Now it's really hitting your heart, isn't it?
Expensive beer, gas. What's left? You've taken it all. I've got nothing left now.
Like this place we bought in Bega last year, I've never lived in a home that has gas. So I thought, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. Until the first time it ran out halfway through a hot shower.
Oh, yeah.
This is my main concern. I don't want to be having a hot shower in winter and have the gas all of a sudden run out. And that's the problem. We've got all these gas giants in Australia.
Use Australian resources Australians.
He's a different type of gas giant, Clive. But I mean, we have these producers of gas, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they produce enough gas, as you heard, for 38 million homes.
Sort it out.
More than enough for Australia. But we ship it all overseas.
What?
65% of it, right? And we're in these contracts. I'm like, can't we weasel out of these contracts?
Yeah.
Call the ombudsman. Complain to the... Is there an ombudsman we can call or something? I don't know.
Rugby league players do it every second week. They can weasel out of the contracts.
That's why can't we sort this one out?
National emergency.
Stuff. Come on. So, yeah, they reckon it could lead to a 10% shortfall next year. It could also lead to rising costs of living. Like, they reckon the prices of gas will go up if there is a shortage. It's already caused problems for music. I know it's like... So that's... The Stones don't even have enough gas to complete a full lyric of Jumpin' Jack Flash. It's crazy. The thing is, there is a what they say is a solution. The government can force the gas companies to make sure that our domestic supply is secure.
I can strong arm them.
Okay. There's a special thing they can do, as Jackie Lambie explains. It's like the gas trigger.
It is time to pull the gas trigger. Don't tell me it's going to be 6 months or 8 months. Get the legislation up there so we can get it through and pull it today.
And not to confuse that with your uncle's gas trigger, which is his finger, which is usually... That's a whole different type of gas trigger.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsie.